This episode is dedicated to the memory of Sean Engel. One of the lights has gone out in our podcasting community. But somewhere else, wherever Sean is now, it's just gotten a little brighter.
Good morning! Nice of you guys to drop by!
We're doomed.
It's a trap!
Chewie, get us out of here!
We would be honored if you would join us.
Charming to the last.
This time you have gone too far!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hello, what have we here?
Red 5 standing by.
This is some rescue!
You must fear the force around you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
I like the sound of that. The force will be with you.
Welcome back to Dead Boffin Spies, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and this is the last episode of the show before I see The Force Awakens. But instead of thinking about the new movie, instead of looking toward the future, I wanted to dwell for just a little bit longer on the past. And I won't be doing that alone. Over the last couple of months, I've asked my guests a number of survey questions about the characters and the concepts in the previous Star Wars movies. On this episode, you will hear the voices of Ben Avery, Kyle Benning, Angela Drew, Al Girding, Rob Kelly, the Irredeemable Shag, Nathaniel Wayne, Omar, Greg Arujo, and Greg's daughter, Riley. Given Riley's age, she has a predilection for the prequel trilogy, so I asked her a few questions non-specific to the classic movies. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
I have two, Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith, because they don't have any of the older actors.
You don't like the older ones?
No.
Who is your favorite Star Wars character?
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Just because he's awesome. Except for in movies 4 through 5.
Who is your favorite Star Wars villain?
Anakin.
What do you like about him?
I don't really know.
Do you like him more as a good guy or as a bad guy?
Bad guy.
You like him as Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Cool. What's your favorite lightsaber duel?
The final battle between Luke and Darth. It's just got so much weight to it. It's so operatic. And so you just like everything has come to this. And I love the fact that Luke taps into the dark side a little bit and comes out the other side. I just think it's a really, really powerful, powerful, powerful scene.
In Phantom Menace with Obi-Wan Kenobi, Qui-Gon, and Darth Maul.
There's a couple, and unfortunately I'm going to be dipping a bit into the prequels for this one. Like Riley, I like the Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Darth Maul one because it's competent Jedis fighting one another. And I also like, just because I had about 30 years of buildup, the final battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan.
My favorite lightsaber duel is in Return of the Jedi. When Luke is under the stairs, and Vader does the whole thing where it's like, "Yo, sister." And Luke just comes out and goes all dark side. I mean, there's no denying. You watch that scene. He absolutely is relying on the dark side to beat down Vader. The violence of the swings, the lightsabers all over the place, the lighting, the music, so dramatic. I realize the lightsaber battles are probably better choreographed in the prequels. I don't care. The lightsaber battle in Return of the Jedi is hands down the best one as far as I'm concerned.
The duel between Yoda and Dooku. Like, just like all the spitting and like Yoda's just hopping around.
Lies.
Like lies. You're not buying that?
I am not.
Okay.
Probably the one in Empire, just because that obviously it doesn't have all the flips and stuff that the prequel lightsaber duels had, but I think that is the most solid, the biggest one without flaw, I think. There are definitely moments in the Obi-Wan Anakin fight in Revenge of the Sith. They're awesome. And they're also some great moments in the Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon versus Maul fight in Phantom Menace. But I feel like the whole I have the high ground thing kind of undercuts that one a little bit.
I think in terms of real fight, like where I really feel like they're on equal footing is at Endor, where I actually feel like the victor of that battle hasn't been decided when they walk in.
Empire Strikes Back is a more captivating lightsaber duel. Return of the Jedi is the more intellectually and emotionally satisfying because it's where they're the most evenly matched, because in the first one you have like a graybeard who's out of his league, mm-hmm. and the second one you have like a petrified kid. The third one, they're equals. And that moment where, just from the moment when he grabs the lightsaber, he starts fighting, but he kicks him down, and then at the very end when like he puts the beat down on Vader, mm-hmm. like set against that really operatic music, that's amazing. That's like, that's Luke full circle.
Favorite Luke Skywalker moment?
My favorite moment, I think, is just got to be that iconic scene of him looking off into the Tatooine sunset with the music playing. That just, part of that, I think, is because it strikes the same chord with me as the moment in Superman the movie when a young Clark, he's just buried Pa Kent, and he looks to the field mm-hmm. and he says, you know, he's going to head north. Yeah. Two different kind of contexts, but it kind of ties the same. And that part is actually my favorite part of Superman the movie. So I think just kind of that it invokes the same kind of imagery that makes that moment in Star Wars kind of piggyback off that as being my favorite Luke Skywalker moment.
My favorite moment is in A New Hope when he's on the ridge looking out to the twin sons of Tatooine. I've always liked movies where you're just a normal person, but like Last Starfighter or The Goonies or Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, something extraordinary happens to you. So I've always felt that way coming from a rural community where there's nothing to do here but watch movies and read comic books. I wanted an alien or somebody to come and snatch me away and make me a Jedi or a starfighter or something like that. So when he's sitting there thinking about what's out there, that's my favorite Luke Skywalker moment.
In Return of the Jedi, where he, the Emperor, you know, basically says, go ahead, you know, the hate is swelling in you, and Luke drops the lightsaber and says, no, you failed because I'm a Jedi like my father before me. To me, that is the Luke moment. That is him in his most badass.
In The Empire Strikes Back, when he first lands on Dagobah and he's susseting out who Yoda is, and like he finally puts two and two together and he has that moment of realization when Yoda's just like, I can't teach him, he's, you know, he's too old, whatever, and Luke is just like, gets who he is, he gets who's like sitting in front of him, and he gets like the stakes, the enormous stakes of this, because it's just finally like, oh, you're finally not being led around by circumstance, you're actively choosing to like do this. You're not like emotionally reacting to like Uncle Owen getting burned or something like that. You're like, okay, I really want to do this, Ben. Tell him I'm ready. I know it's not an easy, iconic moment, but like to me, that kind of epitomizes what's great about Luke Skywalker.
It's when he throws down his lightsaber and tells the Emperor, you've lost. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm a Jedi like my father. You know, that moment for me, it gives me chills to think about. Maybe that's a little bit of exaggeration, but only a little bit, because that moment right there just tells me that's who Luke Skywalker is. And that's who Luke Skywalker has been becoming since we first saw him standing on the dune, you know, looking up at the two suns going down.
He's getting out of his ship. Their ship rocks. R2 falls in. Luke, being like adorable Luke, is concerned about his droid, right? He's upset that his droid fell in. And then R2 pops his head up, which is an adorable moment when his little like periscope comes up and he's like, doo, doo, doo. And then Luke is like irritated, but kind of like exasperated with him. And then R2 gets spit out and he goes like arcing over Luke's head. And Luke does like the very comical, like watching him go up over his head, and he crashes. And Luke goes over to help him, and he's like, you know, getting all the mud off from him. And he's talking about basically how insane it is that he's gone to Dagobah, right? He's like, it's like something out of a dream. And at that moment, right, when he's like questioning his own sanity, in the type of way when you like say to a friend, maybe I'm crazy, you say it so that they assure you that you're not. And at that moment when Luke says like, maybe I'm just going crazy, and R2 like spits out a bunch of swamp water in his face, and then the look Luke gives him, like that look of like total exasperation and annoyance, that's my moment.
It's not a specific moment, but I like Luke piloting, and I wish it hadn't tapered off. There's something about Luke as a Jedi, it feels very much he's doing this because somebody has to do it and nobody else can. Mm-hmm. When he's in a pilot seat, he just belongs there. It's not a weight of responsibility. And when I say, like, you know, he has to do the Jedi thing, I don't mean that as a criticism, but there's a weight of responsibility to when he's doing his Jedi thing. Mm-hmm. There's just a fun and a sense of belonging when he's in the cockpit of something.
I think my favorite Luke Skywalker moment has to be at the end of the duel between him and Vader, that moment where he realizes the path he's about ready to go down after he's defeated Vader, tosses the lightsaber aside, and says that he's a Jedi Knight like his father before him. It's just the end of that journey.
You know, this one actually surprised myself, but after thinking about it for a long time, I actually came down to a moment from Return of the Jedi. It's over the Sarlacc pit when R2 pops the lightsaber out, Luke catches it, and he just starts taking out everyone. Luke had a plan all along, and he executes the plan beautifully. It shows the effectiveness of a Jedi, and it shows how far Luke has grown. And it's almost like a template for future Jedi stories. I sort of surprised myself thinking about it. I was sure it'd be a moment from Empire and Dagobah or something like that. But no, this was the moment where Luke became a boss, and I love that moment.
God damn it, that's my favorite Luke moment too. Nobody else has mentioned that or thought of that, and that has always been my favorite moment. Favorite vehicle.
If we're going ship, I'm saying Millennium Falcon, because I think I cried when I got that toy. Everybody's probably going to say that. That's my favorite vehicle or ship, I guess.
The Millennium Falcon. And I tried to come up with something else because that seemed like to be the cliched answer. But I used to have a Honda Civic that broke down all the time. And just, I can relate to it. Right down to, you know, being tempted to hit the dashboard to get it to start running.
Of the Millennium Falcon. It's the coolest ship ever built in any movie of all time.
It would have to be the Star Destroyer. The Star Destroyer is this incredible, awe-inspiring piece of technology that I think is really underwritten in the films.
Definitely the Snowspeeder.
Snowspeeders. Absolutely badass looking. They look slick. They move gracefully. They move fast. But there's enough blocky, sharp edges that make them look real. Man, when I was a kid, I wanted one of those so bad. And then when I found out, because of the role-playing game, that they're not actually snowspeeders, but airspeeders, and they can be used in any planet, I was like, oh, that's fantastic! I was so excited.
For sentimental reasons, Luke's X-Wing on Dagobah, that was the source of so much consternation. And, like, because I like it because, like, the X-Wing is, like, just a very distinctive looking fighter, and it looks, there are a lot of bells and whistles on it, but it doesn't make it a more efficient tool than like a simple clean TIE fighter. But I also have sentimental attachment to it because, like, that's how Luke and R2 bonded over those three movies. Like, and Luke and R2-D2, like, they're not the classic buddies the way you organically think of, like, Luke, Han, and Leia on the one hand, and like R2 and C-3PO, but like Luke and R2 are like bonded at the hip in those movies. Their time on the X-Wing, and in the third one when, like, R2 keeps his lightsaber and they fly to Dagobah to see Yoda die, like, those two have, like, this sneaky, tight, you know, bond that is, and I think the X-Wing is, like, the great facilitator of that.
Favorite Princess Leia moment?
There's two moments that I like a lot. I like the moment, and probably the one that it would be my number one, is that during her escape on the Death Star, when she just takes that gun from Luke's hand and just, you know, enough of this crap, and I'm just going to take charge, leading them into the garbage compactor, just that I'm done with being rescued, it's my turn to take charge. But the other one that I kind of like is when she's doing the briefing on Hoth before that battle. She's the center of attention, and she's in charge, and I think that's a pretty nifty moment.
You know, it's a small moment, but when she is in the Hoth base and all the, you hear that thing, the loudspeaker, and the guy says, Imperial troops have entered the base, and she's giving instructions and she's saying, you know, do this, do that. And then as she's getting pulled out of the cave by hand, she yells to the guy and get to your transport. Like, I love that she's thinking, like, that's a good leader. She's thinking of all of her troops, even the lowest end person who is somebody who's stuck there giving orders while everybody else is escaping. I just thought that was such a great detail for her that she's, you know, like, she's a really good leader. You see why she is the leader of this rebellion.
They've gotten her out of her cell, mm-hmm. and they're blocked off from the other side. And, you know, she's had a few of her sarcastic quips, you know, which are fine. But then she grabs one of their guns. takes it away from them, shoots the garbage chute, and dives down. He's like, I'm not waiting for you guys to come up with a better idea. Let's get moving. It's like, that to me says everything about Leia. It's like, yes, technically the princess had to be rescued, but she's not deferring to these guys now that she's out of that cell.
I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but I don't really like Leia that much.
You're just a bad feminist.
God, I wish you were doing a video podcast now, because it's important that people see me to be able to, like, get why this is important. Like, I'm a very hirsute Asian man, and so it always cracks me up when Leia is, like, in Star Wars, and they've rescued her from the prison, and she's, like, totally ungrateful, and then she's like, no, we're going to do the X, Y, and Z, we're not going to do this, we're going to do this, and can someone get this big walking carpet out of my way? And I'm just like, that is probably my best case scenario for, like, a girl, like, you know, like, denying me, like, denying my request to go on a date with her. I'm just like, dude, someone, they just rescued you. They just braved, you know, like, stormtrooper fire and, like, and life and limb to try and rescue you.
If you know anything about me, my favorite Princess Leia's moment should be in Jabba's palace in the gold bikini. You know, that just goes without saying. However, my actual favorite Leia moment is when she takes over her own rescue attempt on the Death Star in A New Hope. And she just grabs the blaster, blows a hole in the wall, yells, you know, someone's got to save them. And then, you know, in the garbage chute, flyboy. That's a fantastic scene. It shows Leia is completely capable. And even though they're rescuing her, she doesn't need their help all that much.
I hope I'm not just hitting what everyone else is going to be saying, but I think I go to Return of the Jedi again, where she kills Jabba. And this is something that, as an adult now, I've been looking back and trying to figure out, how does this work, you know, with her in the slave outfit, and how is that empowering? And then I realized what really works here is that it is totally, like, he's put her in the slave thing, he's put her in chains, and she uses the chains that he used to shackle her. She used them to kill him. And she turns this around where he is intending for her to be a victim, and she uses her victimhood, the symbols of her victimhood, to destroy him. And he is killed really by his own evil.
Favorite big battle?
It would be in Return of the Jedi when the rebel fleet leapt into Endor space, and moments after Ackbar goes, "It's a trap!" It's that iconic scene where you're looking through the Falcon window and all those fighters come flying at you. And there's enough on the screen to make it feel so chaotic, but you can still follow the action. And I'm going to use, by contrast, I'm going to tell you, like, episode 3, and some people don't agree with me, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. They're wrong. But anyway, there's so in the opening space battle scene in episode 3, there's so much on the screen, and everything's moving in its own independent path and everything. You really have a hard time following it and figuring out what you're supposed to look at. I mean, you can figure out what the central ships are, but it's so much to take in. It's not pleasant. It's not enjoyable. Whereas the battle in Return of the Jedi is just a beautiful thing to watch. It's just gorgeous, the way the ships move and everything. And also, it's, again, you just feel completely overwhelmed. I love it.
I think it's got to be the snowspeeder on Hoth battle against the AT-ATs. Not AT-ATs, AT-ATs. I love the snow, and Empire is the perfect movie, I think. So,
right.
Loving the snow, and then just how well that was all done out, that I just can't top that battle scene.
I know this. There was a recent discussion about this. I always called them AT-ATs, but are they AT-ATs? Those were great. Just visually watching them come at you, and then the snow speeders going in between the legs and everything. I know it doesn't involve my favorite ship, the Millennium Falcon, but that's my favorite battle.
Hoth. Hands down, Hoth. Again, it's not a clean-cut battle. There's not a clear winner or loser. I guess you could say, like, the Empire won because the rebels have to retreat, but, like, they know this is going to happen, and then they just run, right? So it's not like the Empire doesn't annihilate them. The Empire doesn't catch a significant amount of them. The Empire doesn't even catch the one they're looking for.
The battle on Hoth. And a lot of that has to do with the teaser trailer that was not quite a year before Empire Strikes Back debuted, but it was attached to, like, the August 79 re-release. And they showed bits from that battle, and it was just something completely different. And, well, why are these rebel troops? What's about ready to do when they get up against that ice wall? And that just kind of captivated my imagination.
The Death Star Trench in the first Star Wars, there's just something so pure about it, of just the basic, these ships are going to go down this trench, drop your bomb, the similar scene in Jedi is really good too, but there was something so, you know, classic World War II dogfighting in the original Star Wars that to me still remains my favorite of the big battles.
Battle of Endor, because that's like all the working parts doing what they're supposed to do. You have like the rising and falling action. You have the terror of Palpatine being like, yeah, your fleets, your friends are walking into a trap on the moon, and so is the fleet. And then you see, you know, Ackbar's It's a Trap thing has now been like mythologized in pop culture as kind of a joke, but like to see the, you know, like the sheer volume of Star Destroyers, Super Star Destroyers, and TIE Fighters coming at you is unbelievable. And to see the odds of the people, you know, on Endor were facing, and then to have the synergy turn around, not because of some, you know, some big giant moment, but because, okay, like we've come to rely on these fighters as smart, as skillful, as sometimes lucky, and for all of them to all the parts to fall into place at the same time is great. Because the thing is, if Luke had failed in his quest to kill the Emperor, the Rebels still would have won. They didn't rely on him the way they relied on him in that first fight, you know, the way they relied on, like, the singular action of R2-D2 to get away in the Millennium Falcon at the end of Empire Strikes Back. You didn't need that. Like, you knew, like, you had become fully invested in the Rebel Alliance, in Lando, in Ackbar, in you know, Han Solo and Princess Leia and the droids on the planet. You knew they would eventually figure it out. And it was their ingenuity combined with a little bit of luck with the Ewoks and, like, Lando's steeliness and Lando's little friend, like, their steeliness, like, in the face of, like, great odds. It's like, he'll have that shield down, just give him more time. All the parts worked, and they didn't need some kind of ace in the hole, like Obi-Wan telling Luke to, like, take your targeting computer off, you're going to get this, or R2 just being like, oh, hey, I'm going to hit the light speed and we'll be fine. It was like, no, I know these rebels. I like these rebels. You know, screw this whole idea of the Force or, like, you know, a random happenstance moment. Like, no, the parts work well because you believe in their cause. And if you believe in their cause, you know that, like, they're going to be okay and they're going to overcome insurmountable odds. Love that battle. It's a great battle.
Favorite Chewbacca moment.
I love it when they close the doors on Hoth and Chewie lets out that, like, dog howl. Like, that was really powerful. I was like, oh, he's really upset. His friend, you know, like, that really mournful cry. That's such a nice moment.
I just like how uppity Chewie can get. And I love when Luke tries to put the cuffs on him, you know, mm-hmm. for their bit of such a feat. And Chewie immediately just snarls at him. And, okay, Han, you put those on. It's like, that is the correct response when the universe's biggest dog just barred its teeth at you.
Hands down, my favorite moment with Chewie is when they're on Hoth. Han's out in the wastelands, and they close the door, and Chewie just, you know, that moan of sadness as the blast doors close puts me in tears every time.
On Endor, when he springs the trap, pulling on a dead, like, deer carcass, and he gets them all in a net, right? Like, what the hell, Chewie?
Favorite droids moment.
When you still think Yoda's the crazy old hermit, and, like, he fights R2 for, like, control of the flashlight? Like, that is, like, again, a 25 or 30 second moment where he starts hitting R2 with the cane cannot be replicated. That's like a moment, like, that alchemy is, like, it's either there or it's not. And, like, because of Frank Oz and, like, Lawrence Kasdan's writing, like, and Mark Hamill's exasperation and whatever Kenny Baker was doing, like, that's an amazing moment.
Favorite Han Solo moment.
I have to go to the first movie then, where he comes in at that last moment and gets Darth Vader off Luke's tail. And again, you know, just that excitement of he came back and, oh, the good guys can win now. You know, it's just that this darkest hour. Darth Vader is on his tail. And then Han Solo comes swooping in. All right, kid, now you can do it.
I don't know if this was scripted or not, or if it was just Harrison Ford, like, going off the cuff, but there's a really genuine grimace in the middle of that where he says, like, we're all fine now. We're fine. How are you? And then he gets this look on him, like, he's physically in pain because of how stupid he sounds.
There's something about the hate flirting in the corridors of the Hoth base, mm-hmm. between him and Leia. I don't know what it is, but there's just, they do it better than anyone else I can ever think of. And I don't know why, because it's like, it's not your typical, you know, Han Solo moment, but it's just, I was always, even as a kid, I always loved that. And, like, I would think, I would repeat to myself, because I'm an only child, the Han Solo lines, and I'd be repeating those bits of dialogue to myself. So I don't know what it is about those exchanges, but I love those.
I think probably when he shot Greedo first, Once again, he shot Greedo first.
Like, so in Empire Strikes Back, he's, like, getting progressively, like, irritated with C-3PO's presence, and, like, the cave is shuddering, and 3PO is just like, it's possible this rock is not entirely stable. And he's just like, hey, not entirely stable. Well, I'm glad you're here to tell us about these things. and he just, yeah, like, again, probably not an iconic Han Solo moment, but, like, I think it distills... It breaks down the essence of Han Solo's character. Mm-hmm. Like, why we love him. You would never have seen that moment in the prequel trilogy. What character could have done that? What character could have been, like, sassy and smartass and irritated and all too human in that vein?
This always gets me in Empire Strikes Back when Han and Leia and the droids and Chewie are trying to get away from the Empire. And Han's running all over the Falcon trying to fix things. And C-3PO turns that corner and he says, might I suggest that you... And Han doesn't even speak. He just looks at him and puts that one finger up. And then 3PO says, it can wait till later. That's my favorite Han movie.
When he tells Chewie to stop fighting when he's about to get thrown into the carbonite and says, this won't help me. He faces that fear so bravely. As a kid, I really was quite moved by that. And I still am when I see that scene of just that he realizes when he says there'll be another time. I love that idea that even in that moment, Han Solo is not giving up. He's like, yeah, I'm about to be stuck into a frozen block of ice and I might not come out of it. But there'll be another time. I thought that's what a hero.
Favorite monster?
The space slug.
Probably the space slug.
Jabba the Hutt. One of the, maybe not the only, but it's one of the few movie monsters that exceeds my expectations, exceeds my imagination. Because for years, I didn't know what Jabba looked like. So it was up to me to imagine him. And he's actually worse in Jedi than he was in my imagination, which is rare.
The Rancor. When I first saw Jabba the Hutt, I thought, oh my gosh, he is so horrifying. And like later, right, when they've like totally objectified Leia and she's in her metal bikini and he's so vile and disgusting. But whenever I see the Rancor, Jabba looks very tame.
I don't think I necessarily have one unless Tarkin, you can consider him a monster.
I think I also, like, part of my fascination with the Rancor also is influenced by the aftermath. After the Rancor is killed, after Luke drops the blastor onto its neck and kills it, those two, like Rancor caretakers come in and they're, like, crying over him. like he's just their, like, pet dog or something and not this horrifying beast that, like, eats everything in front of it. And I just like, I love that moment because it just turns into, it's like, oh, it's like, it's their pet. Like they take care of this thing. Like, do they take it for walks? Like, and what does that look like?
Favorite Darth Vader moment.
When he chucks the Emperor into the thing. I mean, like that scene, considering the fact that, you know, there's no emotion to read on his face.
When he picks up the Emperor, I love that moment because of how much you can read on what's going on behind a mask that does not move.
I have to go to where he saves his son. I think that's a favorite moment because it is, again, a turning point. And this is where Luke basically pulls Darth Vader back from the edge. Now, is he redeemed for all of the terrible things he did, like killing kids and stuff like that? No, this doesn't make up for that. But this is where, you know, if he were to live beyond this day, you know, this is that turning point.
The battle in Empire Strikes Back with Luke, the lightsaber battle. He was just so intimidating. I remember being actually scared when you could hear that breathing and he comes out to face Luke. I remember being a kid and being scared. So that's my favorite moment for Darth Vader.
The entire Empire Strikes Back movie.
Oh, this one's easy. I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
Oh.
Interview over, I'm thinking.
My favorite Vader moment involves absolutely no dialogue. It's all body language. He's standing on the bridge of his Star Destroyer, and he's anticipating that at any moment now, his tractor beam is going to grab the Millennium Falcon, and he will have recaptured all the rebels, including his newly informed son. And just at that moment, the Millennium Falcon goes into light speed, and he watches its taillights disappear. He turns, and you see him in profile, and he looks kind of down at the floor, and then he tilts his head and looks back out the window, and then he storms out of the bridge while all of the officers and all of the techs working on the bridge are like shaking in their shoes. Like all like, oh my God, who's he going to kill? And he just leaves.
What do you think about Jar Jar Binks?
He shouldn't be in the Star Wars movies.
Why not?
Because he's just annoying and horrible.
And now I suppose it's time I turn those questions on myself and offer up my own answers. My favorite lightsaber duel would be the first part of the duel between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader in Cloud City, specifically when they're still in the carbon freezing chamber. Yes, there's tons of emotion, there's tons of stakes, the gravitas, the momentous occasion of that battle. It's huge. But for me, a lot of it comes down to the setting. I just love the carbon freezing chamber. The lighting, the way it's lit with that harsh red-orange from the bottom. And up top, you've got this kind of smoky, scary sense of oblivion when you walk off the side. It's like a science fiction future version of hell. And it's just great when you see their lightsabers clash in that setting. My favorite Luke Skywalker moment, well, you heard me answer Shag. It's really that moment when he's stepping out onto the plank above the Sarlacc pit. He gives R2 the signal. He jumps, twists, grabs the plank, flips back into the air, catches the lightsaber, and ignites it. And I tell you, it seems commonplace now, we forget about it, but when I saw it for the first time, a green lightsaber. We'd never seen a green lightsaber before. Oh my God! And he just cuts loose on Jabba's forces. That was what a Jedi did. At that moment, I was like, yes, he has become a Jedi. I don't care if he has to fight Vader. Oh, that was just such an amazing moment, the way he just takes charge and that whole thing. If I had to pick a second Luke Skywalker moment, it would be in that first Star Wars movie when he throws the grappling hook and Princess Leia kisses him on the cheek, says for luck, and he grabs her and they swing across that chasm. Both of these moments, they feel like such swashbuckling fun moments. That's what I love about Luke, when he's just a pure adventuring hero that you can get behind. My favorite vehicle in Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon, is such a classic, great, possibly awesome vehicle, but for me, I've always had a thing for the smaller ships, the snub fighters. I really like the B-Wing, and I like the Y-Wing, and of course the X-Wing, the Snowspeeder, of course, and part of me really always wanted a speeder bike. Like, I thought that was almost attainable. I could never have a giant ship. We would never have that technology, but when I was a kid, I thought, maybe we could build a speeder bike. My favorite Princess Leia moment is in The Empire Strikes Back, when she's in the Falcon and they're flying away and Luke calls to her and says, "Leia, hear me." And she does. She's able to pick up on it and she convinces Chewie and Lando to go back and rescue him. And what I love about that moment is, strangely, we see how powerful and how important she is because she is a love interest. It's weird. You would think it's a very passive role compared to other heroes, but at that moment, it's because Luke loves her so much that he's able to connect with her, forgetting for a moment that they're brother and sister, because at the time they weren't. Nobody knew that. But it's just because Luke loves her that he calls to her and she feels him. And because Han loved her, she's able to convince Chewbacca that the right thing to do is to go back to Cloud City, to put their hand back in the lion's mouth, and to risk everything. I love that because it shows that even if she's not doing the work herself, everybody else in this universe thinks the world revolves around her. My favorite Chewbacca moment is when Han is in the carbon freezing chamber and Darth Vader says, "Put him in," and the stormtroopers reach for him, and Chewie freaks out and starts throwing them off the edges and throwing them around, pushing them, and everybody's freaking out. Boba Fett raises his gun really quickly like he's going to blast him, and Vader just kind of dismissively pushes Fett's rifle aside, and Han is trying to calm him down, and I love that moment, and maybe it's because I'm a dog lover, but it seems like he's responding like a friend, like a loved one, but also like an animal who's just protecting his master. That, you know, if I was in trouble, my dog might snap at somebody's hand and try to protect me and get between me and danger. And that's what Chewie's doing. And I love that. My favorite Han Solo moment is when those doors open and he sees Vader sitting at the end of the table and Vader stands up. And does Han give in to despair? Does he freak out? No, his first reaction is gut instinct. He doesn't wait for Darth Vader to attack first. He draws his gun and opens fire and accomplishes nothing. And it's at once Han at his best, because at the drop of a hat, he will grab his gun and shoot and try to do whatever he can to protect himself and his own, meaning Leia and Chewie. But you also see Han at his weakest, because it's Darth Vader. And as cool as we think Han Solo is, as awesome as he is, as much as he has become the star of this movie, you realize in the grand scheme of things, Han ain't nothing compared to the Jedi. And my favorite Darth Vader moment is back in that carbon freezing chamber, how casual he is about sacrificing Han. It doesn't mean anything to him. And when they lower Han, you just get this rush of smoke just filling the platform. And the smoke clears. And it's just this one shot, a close-up of Darth Vader's face as the smoke is clearing. And he's never been more evil than he is at that moment. And it's... That's what Darth Vader is to me. He is a villain. He is evil. Yeah, those are some of my favorite moments from the original movies, and who knows? Maybe by this time tomorrow, I'll have seen The Force Awakens, and I'll have some different answers. You never know. But that is going to be all for this episode, and as always, I want to thank everyone who appeared on this episode, some of whom recorded these responses months ago and probably forgot all about them, and some who made the time just to record these answers, even if it only took us 10 minutes out of their evening. Feedback for the show can be left on the blog page deadbothandspies.blogspot.com or the Facebook page at facebook.com/deadbothandspies. You can also review the show on iTunes, and you can track me down on Twitter at RyanDaily01 or the username Count Druncula. Dead Both and Spies is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Walt Disney Company, and the views expressed on the show belong solely to the speaker. All music, audio clips, and quoted text is used for entertainment purposes and believed covered under fair use. And since I make no money off this podcast, no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening, and the next time you hear me, I will be on the journey to Star Wars Rogue One.
I was thinking about it, and then I've come to the kind of the theory that, I don't know if you watch Justified, mm-hmm. but sometimes I think that Han Solo is Dewey Crow on a really good lucky streak. He's in always in over his head. None of his plans go right. He's got a broken down car. He's getting betrayed left and right by, you know, his friends. That's kind of my working theory that, you know, he's just on a really good streak. And, you know, if he hadn't gotten in with the rebellion, and he probably would have, you know, been a rancor meal.
I thought you were going to compare him to Raylan Givens because of the whole, like, shooting under the table and everything from the first episode. But you went with Dewey Crow?
Yeah, Dewey Crow. I think he's bigger in his mind than he probably actually was. Yeah. At least before he met Obi-Wan and Luke.